So when I was growing up in the 1980s, there was a television commercial that was very inspiring to me. And it was for Stater Brothers, which is a grocery store chain. And oh, it was beautiful. It was this montage of agricultural scenes. And it started out with this chick. And it was these like beautiful sprinklers in the dawn in the valley. And then there was like men with big hats striding purposefully around. And then the last scene, there was a guy driving his semi down the road through this like beautiful valley scene, and his arm is out the window, and then there's this kind of country song in the background. It stuck with me. It goes like this. In the heartland, we're working hard. In the heartland of California. And it hit me right here every time I saw it. And I thought, yes, I want that. I want that. But so I graduated from Morro Bay High School in 91. And by then, I decided that I'd like to be a nurse. So, because I like, you know, taking care of people and making sure they're all right. So I was up in Davis and I was working on my undergrad and, you know, studying chemistry and anatomy and general ed and all this. And I picked up a copy of the UC Davis student paper, which was called the Aggie. And it was at the end of the spring semester, so we're just about to get out for the summer. And I opened it up, and there was a full-page ad. And it said, seasonal truck drivers needed, no experience necessary, will train, make up to $10,000 over the summer. Well, this looked good. This looked really good. So I quit my job. I was working at an assisted living facility then. I quit my job and I went to be a truck driver. And there was about 50 of us. And we're all in our early 20s. And most of us were students. And we were going to learn to be truck drivers. And so probably 47 of the new truck driver trainees were young men. And these were young men who were going to be accountants. And they were going to be English teachers. There was a med student even. So this was their chance to have a working class, macho job. And they were there. Then there was myself, and there was this Latina gal who was like more macho than all the dudes. And there was a local agricultural dynasty princess, and her dad made her take the job, and she lasted about 2 weeks. So we had about an hour of training to become truck drivers. So first we went out to this fleet of trucks, and they were not beautiful, shiny, chrome-polished trucks, not like a commercial. They were 1960s Peterbilts, and they had no air conditioning. I guess they didn't have that then. They had no power steering. There was no power brakes. If the speedometer worked, the tachometer didn't work. If the tachometer worked, the speedometer probably didn't work. They rarely had windshield wipers. But these were our trucks, and they were just kind of mothballed for about 8 months out of the year. And then 4 months out of the year, they ran them 24/7. And so we learned about trucks and how to hook on the trailers and unhook the trailers and how to adjust brakes and plug in air lines and electrical and that kind of thing, and check the tires, which we did with a hammer. You just took a hammer and you like whacked the tire, and if it bounced, that was good, and if it went thud, then... So this was about a 20-minute lesson. Then we had a driving lesson, and so I got in the cab with this young fellow from Lompoc, actually, and he put a cardboard over all of the dials that probably didn't work anyway, and I learned how to hear 1,500 RPM, because you can't use a clutch when you're driving a big semi like that. You use a clutch just to get going, just right out of first gear, and after that, you rev it up to 1,500, you pull it out of gear, you rev it up again, and you pull it into the next gear. That's how you drive those. And then the next lesson was how to doctor our books. So what I learned about the agricultural business is that if there's a labor law on the books, there is a different law for agriculture. So if you're a truck driver driving a semi-truck across the country, you can drive 10 hours and you have to have 8 hours off. For agriculture, you can drive 12 hours and then have 8 hours off. But that still wasn't going to be enough time because they were harvesting tomatoes in the valley. And the San Joaquin Valley produces most of the world's tomatoes. So they needed us 24/7, and they needed us to work at least 16 hours a day. And it was often up to 20. So we learned that lesson, and our driving test was to take the trailers from the lot where they had been stored all winter long and to take them to Stockton from Dixon. It was about a 50-mile ride. And we took him to Dixon, we dropped him off, and if we didn't kill anyone and we didn't do any damage, then we were now truck drivers. They had somehow worked this out with the DMV. Like I said, agribusiness, it has its own rules. So that summer, I worked. I worked harder than I have ever worked in my life. It was 7 days a week you worked, and then you had 8 hours from the time you got off work till you came on to work again. And there were two strategies for getting us to work. And one is that we were paid by the load. So if you called in and you were really tired and it's the end of the day and you called into the dispatch, and the dispatchers were all related to the owner of the company. You called into dispatch. You said, I'm coming in now. I'll see you in 20 minutes. Then the dispatchers would say, yeah, no, we're going to need you to go to Fresno and pick up a load and take it to Tracy. Thanks. And if you, you know, would pick it up and say, no, I'm coming in, then they would say, what are you, some kind of pussy? What are you, acting like a little girl? Now, this didn't really work on me because I had given up being macho very early in the summer. It was hot in those trucks. It was probably 110 degrees in those trucks. So I had abandoned jeans, and I had my little summer frocks on that I always wore in the summer. And but I wore steel-toed boots for safety, and I always had my gloves. So it didn't really work on me, but it worked on the guys. Oh, yeah, the assailing their masculinity, that was a winner. And so they worked so much harder than I did. And we lost two guys that summer, and one of them was my friend Jose Montano, who I just adored, and he must have fallen asleep at the wheel. He went off into the Sacramento River and drowned. And it was tragic, because he was a young man, he had a bright future ahead of him, he was engaged to be married. And mind you, the agricultural truck drivers are at the top of the heap. So we were working with field workers who got brought out there in a bus, which the seats didn't even need to be, like, in the bus, because ag business, you know. they could be folding chairs, really. And they would be brought out to the field, and they had to stay there until their foreman decided that it was time for them to go back. And they couldn't leave for food. They couldn't stop and get a cup of coffee. They didn't really have any kind of toilet facilities all the time. There was no hand washing. there was often not shade in the fields. And this is, you know, this is the Sacramento-San Joaquin Valley. It's 105. So we all worked so hard. And I don't want you to... I didn't tell this story about pity for farm workers. And I don't think that it's a demeaning job, because we also had a lot of fun out there. We had so much fun learning how to drive the tractors, hanging out in the field, shooting the shit, you know, waiting for our truck to be loaded. We had a really good time, and for many of the people that worked in the fields, it was very meaningful work. But one of the things that has not changed since then is my perspective on the grocery store. I can't just buy an onion or a can of tomatoes and not realize the very human labor and the very human effort that was put into every single product that we see in the grocery store.